What a joy. God is so good to us, folks, and we're so thankful for that. And I want you to look in James chapter 3 as we get into the scriptures tonight, and we're going to take another hit. The scripture just doesn't give any, it's relentless, it just keeps on working on us, but that's the way the Lord does, and that's what we want Him to do. I hope that you don't ever get at ease in Zion, as the scriptures alludes to. And the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse number 13, as we look from here to the end of the chapter, it gives another hit about you. If you're a Christian, there are some ways that you're supposed to live. And I know it's contrary to what the world says right now, that we just go do what we want to do and just count it all good, and it's your truth, and it's your truth, and it's my decision. This is how I live. This is right for me. But remember, you don't have a corner on the truth. Truth is truth, whether I agree with it, hate it, love it, or want to destroy it. Truth is truth, and it will always win out. Some preacher put it like this, and I never heard it this way, but he said that you don't break God's laws. You may break your life against His laws, but His laws will always stand. I thought, well, you know, that's pretty good. Because people may break them as far as it says do this and you don't do it. They broke that law. But you will never break it to where it's not able to stand. It truly will break your life to hit against those laws, but those laws will still be there after your life is brought to ruin. And so we see this passage. This is giving us another shot at what God wants you and I to do as Christians, as folks that have faith. We're people of faith. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Again, lie not against it. Don't try to come up with your own truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, this wisdom that's lying against the truth. It doesn't descend from above, the Bible says, but it's earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And I have a hard time wrapping my brain around verse number 16. But as if I go a little ahead of myself, as if that envying and strife is the gateway where all these other, that confusion and every evil work. And I say that I have a hard time understanding it. I believe it. I just have a hard time grasping that. Every evil work comes through that confusion, or where envying and strife is, that confusion, every evil work comes from that. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want us to look at verse number 17, 18 again and just see if you don't get this feeling of, boy, that I believe is what a Christian atmosphere is supposed to be. And see if you don't see the complete opposite of what you're watching every day on media, social media, the presentation of what they would call the facts, whatever that is. But look at that and see if it's not a complete opposite of what's in verse number 17. But the wisdom that's from above, it's first pure. There's not much pure in the world that we live in right now than peaceable. You know that rioting and wicked living and just argumentative spirits just prevail. Gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Well, I'd love to be in those two verses. I'd love to be living in that way. And we can be. So I want to look tonight at heavenly wisdom. You'd understand that knowledge can puff up, the Bible says it. If you get where you're feeling superior to other people, it can puff you up and make you feel like you're something. I hate to say it, but so can having the right position. You're right and you know it. And then you're so mean about being right that your righteous position is so overpowered by your ugly disposition that nobody ever wants to care to investigate your right position. It happens. And so there are many young people who are leaving the right position because some of us have such a hateful attitude about where we're standing. And this passage in verse number 17, 18 especially, is right and it's just and it's correct, but it's also pure, and it's also peaceable, and it's also without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so I trust that we can have the right position and the right disposition as well. So true wisdom, it's more than just knowledge. It's not just puffing up, because as I said, knowledge puffs us up. It includes that, but it adds to it that wisdom from above. But the Bible seems to convey here that there are those two wisdoms, that wisdom that comes from above, but then that wisdom that's a worldly wisdom or a worldly knowledge, and it's not from above. So in this passage, once again, your faith and my faith are put to work. You see, we've talked about before in this study, we've talked about those folks that say, yes, but you don't have to live a certain way in order to get to heaven, and you don't. You have to come to faith in Jesus Christ and get His forgiveness for your sins, put your faith and trust in Him. That's true. That's the only gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that gospel that saved me and saved you, if you're a Christian tonight, it also, as the old preacher said, brought work clothes with it. It ought to be a working faith. That's not a trying to see whether you're legitimate or not. It's just a statement that faith that saved you also will change you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So one of those things that changes us in is gives us this wisdom, or at least the access to it. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. And so we're going to look at the contrast of wisdoms in verse 13, 14, and 15. In verse number 13, we see it's asking, who is this wise man? He's endued with knowledge. A wise man lives it out. He lives it out, and we see that this person is this one that shows out of a good conversation. We know that that word conversation literally means lifestyle. Out of his good lifestyle or his conversation, he shows out of that good conversation his works. And then here's how he shows them off: with meekness of wisdom. And so a wise man lives it out. I don't believe you need to go around with a sign and say, I'm a wise man. The people that you're around, they'll figure it out. Or they'll figure out the opposite, whichever. Because you've heard that saying that your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear your words. Now, I don't agree with that statement that says, wow, you don't have to say anything, just live a good life in front of everybody. Because God tells us to proclaim His goodness with our mouth. You know, just say, oh, I'm not going to say anything to you about Jesus. I'm not going to say anything to you about the hope that's found within me. How can we not say something about the hope that's found within us? We use our mouth, but we also, our mouth and our actions ought to convey the same message. Where we run into problems is when our mouth runs off and says, you ought to come to church with me. And then they look at you later and say, why? Because you're living that way and that's how it made you be. So our actions ought to back up our words, and our words coincide with our actions, because a wise man lives it. It lives there. He lives it out. A saved individual is tapped into what God wants because he's praying. It's natural. It ought to be as natural for us to breathe as for us to just talk to God and ask him, Lord, I need your help in this. I need wisdom. I need direction. I need your help. I need your guidance. That ought to be as natural to us as getting up in the morning and getting your coffee or getting yourself ready and getting on your drive to work. You can do it without any help whatsoever. You do it all the time. Well, you also, and I also, ought to be that one that's asking the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me keep this tongue in track again today. Help me, dear Lord, as we talked about the tongue the other day. Help me, dear Lord, to keep it in check. Lord, help me to be nice. And so we understand that these contrasting wisdom shows that a wise man lives it. But look in verse number 14 and 15. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, almost like you can hear your grandma say, for heaven's sake, don't glory about it. Don't be proud of it. Glory not. Meaning, don't be proud of that. Don't boast about it. There's many people that say, well, you know, I told him what I thought. Like that one fellow says, I gave him a piece of my mind there. His wife pulled him and said, shh, don't do that. You ain't got much left. We ought not to be proud of it, but sometimes we are. Well, I just let him have it. Well, that's what the Bible is literally talking about. Glory not in that. Don't be proud of that. As a Christian, don't be proud of that. That's what the world does. Well, I just told him this isn't going to work around here, and we're going to fix this. Well, the scripture says, but if you have bitter envying and strife, that quarreling back and forth, if you've got that in your hearts, don't glory about it. And don't lie against the strife, because worldly wisdom, it brings strife. Because worldly wisdom says the one that speaks the loudest is the one that wins. You've heard that statement that you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, the people will believe it. And so the wisdom that's behind there is you just get you a good spin, a good tale, but you be confident about that tale and keep on saying it, keep on telling it, keep on preaching it, and eventually you'll get some followers. Well, that's worldly wisdom. Well, you've got one guy over here that's preaching, teaching, telling something again and again and again, and it's not true. And you've got somebody else over here that's saying and preaching and telling something again and again and again. It's not true. And you got another one there and there. And all these voices are coming at each other, and you can't hear what you're thinking anymore. And that's where we have that strife. Worldly wisdom, that's where it comes from. We see this two wisdoms here, but mark it down. The one that's got envy and strife, and that one that tries to vie for position. When you find somebody who always wants to climb up over somebody else, you mark it down. That's not from the Lord. And that happens in church work as well. You get that pastor that wants to be the biggest or the best or be outshine everybody else or do better than somebody else. Well, we'll one-up him there and we'll do even better than that. None of that is from the Lord. That's all this worldly wisdom. And you know what our news media, and I don't preach all the time about it, but you know it's true. I could, I guess. What's in our news and our media nowadays? It's a volley of hatred from one side to the other side. You just flip the channel from one and you're yelling about the other. Flip the channel and they're yelling right back as if it's in real time. We don't like you and we don't like you either. And it's just a volley back and forth of strife. And so we see that there's a contrast of these wisdom. There's that heavenly wisdom. And then verse number 15 says, this wisdom, it descends not from above. It didn't come from God. But instead, the Bible says, it's earthly. And the earth never, God so loved the world, and God created this earth that we live on. But in this instance, the earthly means of the world. It's sensual, devilish. So you and I have to be careful whose rhetoric we're parroting. We have to be careful who we're copycatting of, because we understand there's this contrast of wisdom. Not only that, but look in verse number 16. We see the effects are given of this. We've got the contrast here. And so the earthly side of it, let's look at what it brings forth. As I said already, I have a hard time with this verse. Not that I have a hard time believing it. I have a hard time understanding it. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion, there's disorder, everything's in disarray. And every evil work. That's hard to believe, the scope of that verse. That through that envying and through that strife that's there, it's the gateway, if you will, to every evil work. As we look back up in verse number 15, which is tied to 16, it sounds like the description of an eerie movie. Sensual, devilish. And then verse 15, there's confusion. There's every evil work. Well, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll dabble in some of that as well. And we'll try to employ worldly wisdom to get our spiritual problems done. My friend, it won't work. Let's take a test. Who came up with the idea of marriage, God or man? God did. Not good that man should be alone. He made to help meet. These twain should be one flesh. So it's God's idea. It's not man's idea. So if I want to work on having a good marriage, or you want to work on a good marriage, who do I go to for wisdom? Do I see what the world has to say? The world says, well, I'll have an open relationship. You do what you want. She does what she wants. Don't be monogamous. Don't have these restrictions. Don't have these guidelines. Just do what you think you ought to do and then come together and you'll be fine. Or do I follow the Bible? Well, we know the answer. We follow the Bible. It's true. You always look at the manufacturer. If you want to know how to fix a, a defective or a device that's having problems, look at the papers, look at the book, and sometimes they don't even come with a book anymore. Go to their website and look at the description of how that machine operates, because the people who made it know best how to work it. And God made us, and He created and defined marriage, so we ought to go to Him to look and see how to do it. But the effects of the worldly strife, it brings disorder. Remember this, my friend, that God is into order. The Bible says so. He says that in different passages, but it talks about Him being the God of order, that it's straightforward. Satan's the one that tried to break over and put disorder and come above God. I will overcome him, set my throne above the Most High. He was after that disorder, and whether it's that major of an issue or whether it's just a small thing that you're trying to think of in your life, disorder always comes from the wrong source. Order always comes from the right source. So we see the effects in verse number 16 of this worldly strife. And I want to dwell just a little bit on verse 17, 18, because as I said, it seems like it's this paradise kind of place, but it's not heaven. But as the one of the Epleys, our friends that came in here a couple weeks ago for our revival, he says, we got a little heaven to go to heaven in, Brother Steve Epley told me one time. And that's what you've got. Your marriage is supposed to be a little place of heaven on earth. He said, Pastor, you haven't been in our house lately. Well, I said it's supposed to be. I didn't say it was. This church is supposed to be a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. The comfort from the Word of God is a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with. The great confidence that comes in prayer and knowing that He'll never leave me nor forsake me is a little heaven to go to heaven with. Friendships from brothers and sisters in Christ, bear you one another's burdens, is a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with. And so here we have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven with, because this isn't talking about heaven. This is talking about earth right here. But the wisdom that's from above. You say, how do you know it's not heaven? Because it's coming from heaven. It's from above, but it's coming down here below now. It's first pure and peaceable. There's your first blank. Pure just means clean, innocent, modest. It's in its right place. Gentle and easily entreated. Gentle just means it's appropriate. It's easily entreated. And that entreated just means that it's easy to ask for help. What does God say? I already quoted once. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives you a blank slate to ask away. Now, I don't know how your dad was, or maybe you didn't get raised with your dad, but I know some parents are extremely hard to come and ask them anything. And boy, the worst time of your life is when you got to go confess to dad that you messed up something. That car, that you were playing ball and you threw the ball and it went past, you weren't even supposed to be playing with it and it went through the window. And those are some of the hardest conversations. And sometimes that's needful because the dad has to keep that authority. I'm not putting that down. But there are some people that are just not easy to entreat. They're not easy to ask anything. I'm thinking about Brother Don Sisk. There's a reason why we have the people who come through that we do. Brother Don Sisk will be here this Sunday, and he's a 91, 90, somewhere there, early 90s. And he's just a kind, gracious man that has served the Lord for all these years. But he's humble as well. And you could ask him, say, Brother Sisk, what about this? He doesn't chide you, doesn't put you down. Just say, well, this, this, and this. He'll give you an answer. Some people are easy to be entreated. And the Bible says about this wisdom, it's from above, but it's first pure. Oh, it's precious. It's clean. It's innocent. It's pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. How many of you rather tell God than you would tell your spouse that you backed into the garage door? God, shouldn't have done it. God says, I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I own the house. I own all of it. It's no big deal to me. But it's not as easy to tell that spouse. And you know I'm being funny, or trying to be anyways. Amy says, not always you're not. No. But that's my best shot. But that wisdom's easy to be entreated. And there's two lessons here. Number one, let us just glory in that God is that way. You don't have to worry about him being mad at you. He upbraideth not, the Bible says. When you ask for wisdom, give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You don't have to worry about him being upset about that. But that's the first lesson. That's a glory thing that we've got to enjoy. But there's also a great lesson that we ought to be that same way. You know, we need to be less hard-nosed about some things and let people know that they can come ask us. Now, we have to give them the Bible answer. Mom, can I have 14 ice cream cones on top of this two pizzas that I just ate? No, but I'm glad you asked. That's the trade-off there. Easy to be entreated. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to be a pushover. I'm not talking about being a pushover. I'm just talking about that wise person, that humble person, that pure person, that peaceable person, that gentle person, that wisdom that's from above. It's easy to be entreated. And so two lessons. Number one, we really just relish in the fact that God's wisdom is that way, but I also learned that I ought to be that way and react in a certain way when people ask me. But it goes on to say, full of mercy and good fruits. And letter C is merciful and sincere. That's where I get this for the next phrase, without partiality, without hypocrisy. God's got it all worked out. We know what it's like to be a hypocrite. It's like being an actor in a play. You're playing somebody that you are not. But we know that. You pay to go see the play, and you played for them to be a hypocrite. We're not paying anybody to be hypocrites here. You need to be without hypocrisy. As a Christian, you don't need to be somebody on Sunday and then somebody else on Wednesday or on Saturday when your neighbors see you out there and you won't help them to save your life. Without hypocrisy. And you say, that's not talking about us, not necessarily, but we do have great lessons to be taught from that, because it's talking about that wisdom that God gives. It's without partiality. He doesn't differentiate. I will give to this person because they're more faithful than you. I won't give to you because you don't have as much resources as the other person. It's without hypocrisy. It's without partiality. And we understand that it's merciful and it's sincere. And then it goes on to say, verse number 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown, meaning it's thrown out there. It's sown in peace of them that make peace. And I leave you with this. I want to be that person in verse number 18. And that fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them, by them, and according to them that make peace. The Bible talks about us living peaceably with all men, as much as lieth within me. That means you don't get any prizes for being an old, hard-nosed person that can't get along with anybody. If somebody doesn't like you because of the message that you stand for on the Word of God, you really can't do anything about that. But if they don't like you, it's just because you're an old grumpy cuss. You can work on that. You can change something about that, because the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's the way I would like to be. So as we live this way, the Bible talks about in verse number 14, that talks about those couple of, or 15 rather, it talks about those two wisdoms. Oh, there's a wisdom, an earthly wisdom, a sensual wisdom, a devilish wisdom, and it seems like it gets things done. But God says for us Christians, that's not where we're supposed to be living. Instead, we're supposed to be living in that wisdom, verse 17, that's from above. That one that's pure, that one that's peaceable, that one that's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's not got partiality. It doesn't have any hypocrisy. That's the wisdom we ought to be after. And so I'm asking you this question as we leave. Are you living in that kind of wisdom? You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer inwardly. Would it be described in that kind of wisdom? What about your children? What about your grandchildren? Would they say that, yeah, Papa lives in that heavenly wisdom? Or would they say, oh boy, he's playing both sides of this thing. Yeah, he talks about it a good game, and on those good days, he does well. And now I tell you, get him on those other days, and that language coming out, that's not full of heavenly wisdom. That's probably from some other place. May we strive to be those ones that live in that heavenly wisdom. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the time to be in your word. I pray, dear Lord, that your word's getting in us. And I pray we live in that heavenly wisdom. And we'll certainly, certainly thank you for it, dear God. I pray that each of us would do a little self-examination. And I imagine that we've all got a little work to do. I'd say that we're not always pure and peaceable. I'd say, dear Lord, that we're not always gentle and easy to be entreated. I'd say, Lord, sometimes we're getting that devilish wisdom. I'd say that we need some help in some areas. And so, Lord, I pray that not only you'd show us that, but you'd give us that help and let us have that pure and peaceable wisdom. Let us ask ourselves that question. Verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. And my friend, may we be those ones that show a good conversation with meekness of wisdom. And we'll thank God for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies play something through? And if God's spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. You're welcome to come to this altar and just pray and ask the Lord to strengthen you, help you. Maybe you have some other need that's heavy on your heart tonight, and this altar is open for you. Whatever's going on, you need to pray about it. You don't have to come here, but you're certainly welcome to. As I've mentioned a dozen times, some of the best decisions I've ever made have been at an altar. I invite you to come. Perhaps you're here tonight, and you're not sure that you're saved. You may not even be sure what that word is. You're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. My friend, you don't get to go to heaven by saying magic words, by a little prayer on the bottom of a gospel track, unless that prayer is backed up by a heart of faith. You go to heaven by believing that Jesus is the only Savior to save you from your sins, and by believing on Him, putting your trust, your dependence, your faith in Him. And if you're not sure that you've ever done that, I invite you to come. Brother Daniel's right down here around the front. We'd certainly love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure about that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I trust that you've enjoyed getting into the Bible. And as I mentioned in the prayer, may the Bible get into us as well. And we appreciate the time to be in this Bible study. I want to thank the Lord for Brother Doug Jarrett back there in the back. Brother Doug, wave at us right there. And he's been coming here for years and years. His wife's a member. We thought he was a member, but officially I don't know that he is on paper. But he wants to be one. And I think that's a great trait that somebody wants to be a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I think that's wonderful. And so we need to officially join him in, although he's been here for 40 years, and we thank God for him. And we're glad that he's getting that little thing taken care of. We had some young people that didn't officially get on the rolls, and we had to take care of those here a few months ago, maybe a couple weeks or some weeks ago, whatever. But we're thankful for that. So we need a motion to Brother Doug Jarrett. Brother Marty Scroggs makes a motion. Leroy Shepherd seconds the motion. And all in favor, say aye. All opposed, same sign. Amen. Well, motion carries. Praise the Lord for that. And we're thankful that the Lord is, he didn't bring Brother Doug to the church. He's been here for years, and we thank God for that. But other folks have been joining, and we're so thankful. I really believe, folks, I know you think I'm a broken record, but I believe the Lord's just gathering people together because of the time getting short. I really believe that. And I believe the Lord knows what we're going to need one another and strengthen each other. And I believe as we keep on lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And I'm so thankful that He's true to His word. Brother Daniel, why don't you come and tell us about Saturday, and then pray for us and then we'll be dismissed. And thank God for you being here. It reminds you that on Mother's Day, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, we'll have an early service. We're tweaking the time. Give me a little bit more. We'll probably be at 8:45. We'll make a social media announcement. I'll have you the word by this Sunday. But if that fits better into your schedule, to come to the early service on Mother's Day, and we'll do that going forward for a while. And if you have, if that interests you and that would fit better into your schedule, we'll need you. And we'll take you at that 8:45 service. We'll have a great time. I'll preach the same message. It'll be just to alleviate a little bit of the pressure off the 11 o'clock service in here. And again, if that fits into your schedule, then so be it. If not, that's fine too, but we'll have a good time. Brother Daniel, tell us about Saturday and pray for us.
This Saturday at 9:30, if you're available, we're going to be going out into the community around here and around our really the rest of the areas that we go to invite people out to Vacation Bible School. And so if you're available at 9:30, we'd love to have you come. We'll have breakfast and then we'll head out. And so this is our monthly first of the month, our first Saturday of the month time out. And so Vacation Bible School is just a little over a month away. And so we're greatly looking forward to it. We've got to start letting people know so that we can do that. So if you can come, we would certainly love to have you at 9:30 this Saturday.
Right here in the auditorium.
Ladies' prayer walk tomorrow at 7 o'clock right here in the auditorium. So, ladies, don't forget about that. And many of you probably had not, but sometimes when we don't announce it, people always wonder, well, is it still happening? And so, yes, it is. And you have a wonderful time with that tomorrow. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful night in church. And thank you for all that you're doing in our church. And, Lord, we are grateful for all that you're doing through our church as well. And we look forward to, Lord, to being involved in that and to seeing what you desire to do. And Lord, I just pray you'd bless. I pray you'd help us to be a church that is aptly described by those verses that we just studied, Lord, the last couple ones. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church that's just peaceable and easy to be entreated, just filled with people like that. And Lord, I pray you'd bless the time we have after the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.